Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we pull apart complex topics so you don't have to. Today, we're zeroing in on a legal battle that really turned on the meaning of just two seemingly simple words, structural damage. We're diving into Hagel v. First Liberty Insurance Corp, a decision that offers some, really crucial insights, especially if you're navigating contract law.
Absolutely. And this case, it isn't just about like a homeowner and their insurance company. It's really a masterclass in how courts interpret the actual language of contracts and why, well, precision in drafting those agreements is just so vital.
Yeah.
For any law students tuning in, this deep dive will definitely highlight principles you'll see over and over in your studies.
Okay, so let's set the scene. Think sunny Florida and, the ever-present risk of sinkholes. Back in 2010, the Hagels, they took out a homeowner's insurance policy with First Liberty.
Right.
This policy covered sinkhole loss, which it defined as structural damage to the building, including the foundation caused by sinkhole activity.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, well, pretty clear-cut, right?
It might seem that way at first glance, but here's the twist, the real kicker. While the policy mentioned structural damage, it never actually defined what that term meant. And as we'll see, that missing definition, that became the absolute heart of the dispute.
Exactly. So fast forward to March 2011. The Hagels, they start noticing cracks, popping up in their walls, their floors. They did what you'd expect, filed a claim with First Liberty, assuming, hey, this falls under our sinkhole coverage. But First Liberty basically said, whoa, not so fast.
Yeah, they pumped the brakes.
They denied the claim. Their argument was that the damage wasn't actually structural in nature, and maybe it wasn't even caused by sinkholes. They suggested it could just be like normal concrete shrinkage or the house settling.
And this is where things get, well, complicated, because as often happens in these kinds of disputes, the experts didn't agree.
Right. The battle of the experts.
Exactly. The Hagels brought in their own folks who concluded that, yes, sinkhole activity was a contributing factor to the damage. They even put a price tag on fixing it all, $166,518.17.
Wow.
So you can see why the Hagels felt pretty strongly they had a valid claim under their policy.
Absolutely. It's a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
So feeling like they weren't getting anywhere, the Hagels decided to sue First Liberty. They initially filed in Florida State Court.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a little civil procedure sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Hagels and First Liberty were from different states, and the money involved was significant, the case got moved and went to the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Florida.
Right, diversity jurisdiction.
That's the one, diversity jurisdiction.
Yeah, that's a really key procedural point. Diversity jurisdiction, it's designed to provide a neutral federal court when you have parties from different states fighting over a substantial amount. It helps avoid any potential worry about state-level bias.
Makes sense. So the case lands in district court, they hear the arguments, and in February 2014, they actually sided with the Hagels.
They did.
They took a pretty broad view of structural damage, basically saying it meant, well, any damage to the structure. And boom, they awarded the Hagels that $166,000 plus change.
Looked like a win for the homeowners at that point.
It did. But the story doesn't quite end there, does it?
Not at all. First Liberty wasn't happy with that result, naturally. So they appealed. They took the case up to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay.
Now, you can think of the 11th Circuit as like a higher court that reviews decisions from the district courts in its region. That's Alabama, Florida, and Georgia. Their rulings set the standard, the precedent, for similar cases in those states.
So this appeal meant the 11th Circuit would take a really close look at how the district court interpreted that crucial phrase, structural damage.
Exactly. That was the whole point of the appeal.
Here's where it gets really, really interesting for contract interpretation nerds like us. So what was the central legal question the 11th Circuit had to grapple with? It all came back to those two words, right?
Precisely. It boiled down to, did structural damage just mean any physical damage to the building, like the district court thought? Or did it require something more significant, something impacting the building's fundamental integrity?
Okay.
First Liberty's core argument on appeal was basically, look, structural damage has to mean something more substantial than just any old crack in the drywall. It needs to affect the actual stability, the soundness of the building itself.
And the 11th Circuit in 2015, they actually agreed with First Liberty, didn't they? They reversed the district court's ruling.
They did. A complete reversal.
So what was the key reasoning? What legal principles do they hang their hat on to reach that conclusion?
Well, the 11th Circuit's decision really turned on a fundamental principle of contract interpretation, something called the plain meaning doctrine.
Okay, plain meaning.
Yeah. The court reasoned that the term structural damage couldn't just mean damage to the structure, because if it did, the word structural would be totally unnecessary, redundant.
Right, like saying wet water.
Exactly. Think about it. If any damage, however minor, counted as structural, then that word structural adds absolutely nothing to the meaning. Courts generally try to assume that every word in a contract is there for a purpose, that it has its own independent meaning.
That makes a lot of sense when you break it down like that. You assume the parties put each word there for a reason.
Precisely. So the 11th Circuit concluded that structural damage, in this context, must require an actual impairment of the building's structural integrity. That sets a much higher bar than just any superficial crack or blemish.
A higher threshold.
Definitely. They explicitly rejected the district court's broader interpretation. They found it just too expansive, saying it didn't give proper weight to the word structural.
Okay, but hang on. There was also that detail about a 2011 Florida law, an amendment to the statutes, that actually did define structural damage. Why didn't the 11th Circuit just, you know, apply that definition and call it a day?
Ah, that's a great question, and it brings up another really important legal concept. The general rule against applying laws retroactively to contracts already in existence.
Yeah, not on retroactivity.
Exactly. The Hagels bought their insurance policy back in 2010. This new statutory definition didn't come into effect until 2011. The 11th Circuit said, basically, you can't apply this new 2011 definition backwards to change the terms of the deal the Hagels and First Liberty made in 2010.
Okay.
Courts are usually very hesitant to do that unless the legislature makes it crystal clear that they intend for the new law to apply retroactively.
So even though a specific legal definition popped up later, it didn't count for this policy because the policy existed before the law changed. It's like saying you can't change the rules of the game after it's already started.
That's a perfect analogy. This principle of non-retroactivity is really fundamental. It ensures stability and predictability in contracts. Imagine the chaos if the terms of your agreements could just be altered by new laws passed years later.
Yeah, total uncertainty. Okay, so the 11th Circuit clarifies. Structural damage means impairing the building's structural integrity.
Yeah.
So let's distill this. What are the key takeaways, especially for our law student listeners? What are the big lessons here?
Okay, several really vital ones. First, and maybe the biggest, is just the sheer power of language.
Mm-hmm.
This case is such a powerful illustration of how the exact words used in legal documents, especially contracts like insurance policies, can have massive consequences. The fact that this policy didn't define structural damage, that's what sparked the whole legal fight.
Right.
And then ambiguous terms are just, you know, fertile ground for expensive, time-consuming lawsuits with really unpredictable results. The lesson: every single word matters. And missing definitions, that can throw everything up in the air for a court to decide.
Absolutely. It's a huge reminder. When you're drafting or even just reviewing a legal document, you have to be incredibly meticulous about the language. Think about potential ambiguities, how different people might read the same words. Mm-hmm. That lack of definition had huge ripple effects here.
Second takeaway. This case gives a really clear window into how courts approach interpreting contracts. The 11th Circuit really focused on the plain, ordinary meaning of the words, but crucially, within the context of the whole policy.
The whole document.
Right. They didn't just isolate damage. They looked at it with structural and tried to give effect to both words, assuming each had a distinct job to do. So the principle is always read a contract as a whole, see how the pieces fit together. Every word should ideally contribute something unique.
And thirdly, as we touched on, the case really hammers home the importance of understanding statutory interpretation and that non-retroactivity principle.
It's definitely.
Knowing when laws apply, how they apply, and crucially when they don't is just fundamental for any lawyer. The court refusing to apply that Consul 11 amendment backwards. That clearly shows how reluctant courts are to mess with existing contract rights based on later laws, unless there's a really strong reason and clear legislative signal.
Yeah, imagine the instability otherwise. And finally, it's crucial to remember, okay, the 11th Circuit clarified the legal definition of structural damage, but they didn't actually decide if the Hagel-specific damage met that new, higher standard.
All right.
They remanded the case sent it back down to the lower court for that determination.
Okay.
This really highlights the critical interplay between the legal standard and the actual facts on the ground. The Hagels still had the job of proving, with evidence, that the cracks in their house actually impaired its structural integrity. That likely meant more expert testimony, more evidence presented back in the district court.
So even after the appeals court set the legal rule straight, the fight wasn't necessarily over. The Hagels still had to prove their specific facts fit that rule. It really shows how legal principles get applied to real-world situations and how vital evidence and expert opinions are in that process.
Exactly. Setting the legal standard is step one. Proving your facts meet that standard. That's step two, and it's just as critical.
So, wrapping it all up, the core lesson from Hagel v. First Liberty seems to be that even phrases that look simple on the surface, like structural damage, can carry immense legal weight and demand careful, reasoned interpretation by the courts.
It really does. This case is just a potent reminder of the analytical rigor involved in interpreting contracts and the absolute need to pay super close attention to the specific language used in any legal agreement.
You know, this case really gets you thinking. How might insurance companies and, you know, policyholders react to this kind of ambiguity highlighted in Hagel, like in future policy drafting? What could they do proactively to avoid these kinds of fights?
That's a really interesting thought. You could definitely see insurers becoming much more careful, explicitly defining key terms like structural damage right there in the policy documents to minimize ambiguity.
Trying to close that loophole.
Exactly. And policyholders, maybe they become more diligent, reading those definitions carefully, maybe even asking for clarification before they sign on the dotted line. It could even spur more negotiation over the exact meaning of critical terms in insurance deals.
And for everyone listening, especially those heading into legal careers, think about how these core principles, plain meaning, context, non-retroactivity, apply across the board. It's not just insurance law.
Absolutely not. Whether you end up dealing with, you know, complex business deals, real estate leases, employment agreements, whatever the lessons from Hagel about clear language and careful interpretation, they are invaluable tools. Understanding these nuances is really, truly essential for your future success.